You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition. Shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry. The home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the All About Real Estate Edition. I am your host, Todd Schneck, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. Boy, this has been a fun month. We have interviewed a lot of rookies to the show, a lot of really interesting people doing some amazing work in town, but it's been fun getting to know some new folks.
It is good. And it's kind of funny because none of them are new to the industry. They've been around for a while, just new to the show. So.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad we get to showcase these great people. Let's get to it. Today's guest is Jim Cheeks. He's the owner of Red Brick Homes and Development. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. I appreciate you making time to join us. I know you're a busy fellow, so thankful that you carved out some time to visit with us. Jim, before we get into some of the cool work being done by Red Brick, take a few quick seconds. Tell us a bit about you and your background.
Well, great. I've actually had a number of different careers before getting into the building business. Straight out of college, I had a degree in zoo animal management and worked at SeaWorld and Marineland of Florida with the whales and dolphins there for a few years. Realized that wasn't the long-term vision and ended up getting a business degree and had an entrepreneurial business selling wholesale diamonds with my roommate from college whose family was Indian and they were diamond cutters. So I went to India and Belgium for about a year to train and then did that business for about 3 years. It didn't work. It was fun. I got to do a lot of traveling and spend some time in some places doing some things I never thought I'd be doing, but it wasn't a long-term venture. So from there, I went actually to work in, there's a few other little things in between, but for the Department of Planning at City Hall. I was in the Economic Development Department and it was pre-Olympics. I started in January 96 and my job really was to help the city make the areas around the Olympic venues look better than they did. A lot of them were in transitioning neighborhoods. So after the Olympics, I stayed on for a couple more years and my boss left and he started buying land in the Summerhill neighborhood, which was right next to Turner Field, what was then the Olympic Stadium, which became Turner Field. And he knew that, you know, my time had sort of run its course at City Hall and asked me to join with him. And I did. I'd never really, my dad's an architect, so I'd been around building a lot, but not directly. So I worked with him for about a year and a half and sheepishly went up to him one day and said, I think I can do this on my own. Do you mind if I do that? And he patted me on the head and said, good luck, see if you can do it. So the first year I built three houses, then five, and this would have been 2001, actually. I built three, then five, then 11, then 20. And it was sort of off to the races. And then about 06, I got sort of disenfranchised with the spec business. I wish I could say I knew that the downturn was coming, but I didn't. But luckily, I had started to shed everything that I had and wasn't buying anything really new. And I wanted to focus the business on purely high performance, what back then they called green building, but I didn't like that term. High performance homes. So I built my own home in the Glenwood Park neighborhood, which at the time was the first Earthcraft certified neighborhood in Atlanta. And I built it to the LEED Platinum standard.
Wow.
And I can say that I've been in that house now almost 11 years and I'm finally starting to get a return on my investment.
Yeah, but I bet your utility bills have been super low the whole time.
My utility bills run for the preceding 12-month average is $228
Woohoo!
A month for a 4,000 square foot house with four people living in it.
That's not bad.
So, not bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not bad at all.
But that market with the downturn obviously dried up even quicker than just the overall market. So I quickly shifted the business since I had, you know, connections at City Hall, quickly shifted to building affordable housing. There was the federal program called the Neighborhood Stabilization Program.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a lot of predominantly renovations, which is my least favorite type of building to do. And I did that for a number of years, you know, helped me make it through the downturn and really gave me a sense and a focus on what affordable housing is and how you really have to make quality affordable housing. And affordable can mean everything from low-income people to, you know, houses that are in neighborhoods that if it's an $800,000 neighborhood, that's $600,000. Mm-hmm. If it's a $500,000 neighborhood, it's $350,000. So to me, that's what affordability means. And then in the last few years, we did what for us recently has been a relatively large project. We did 25 homes in the Mechanicsville neighborhood, which is just south of downtown. Mm-hmm. And it was the first low-income housing tax credit used for a single-family project in the state, so I'm told. I can't independently verify that, but I've been told that. And the project went really well. One of the downsides that I saw from all the efforts with the NSP program and the other various CDBG and all those programs was they were really scattered out and you really didn't get enough density in one particular area to change it. With this Mechanicsville, we did. Mm-hmm. And prices have gone up and it's all a rental situation, but it's a very high quality owner. They've got, I don't know, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 units around the Southeast, Columbia Residential. And those houses look as good as the day we built them. So that helped increase the stature and been working now a lot with the Atlanta Neighborhood Development Partnership. They have done quite a bit of affordable housing for 25 years. John O'Callaghan is the CEO and is just a dynamic leader. And so really the last 10 years of my 20-year career has really, like I said, been focused on affordable housing. And I think I've getting to the point where I might have cracked a couple codes on this thing that I'm really excited about.
What a fascinating history. So he has swam with the dolphins and you've done a little bit of everything, really worked in government. Just got to be a little challenging.
It was challenging.
Wow. And I thought that, you know, that my career was kind of interesting and strange.
I think it makes you a general better business person when you have varied experiences such as that.
Oh, I agree.
Change and disruption doesn't phase you and if you haven't tried and done some other things. Mm-hmm. So,
hi there, I'm Ty Pennington. I've been in construction for a long time, and I can promise you this. You can trust a Jackson EMC Right Choice home to be designed and built to the highest standards. The thorough inspection process has quality control built right in, which means savings and comfort for you. It's all part of Jackson EMC's promise. Energy efficient homes guaranteed. Ask your Jackson EMC representative for complete warranty terms and conditions.
We could wrap the interview with that extensive intro. I mean, that was pretty much covered everything I want to cover. I mean, so there's this Grant Park project. Is that one of the things you referenced in your conversation there? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the project I'm really very excited about, a year and a half ago, the city allowed accessory dwelling units, basically granny flats, you know, little homes that in all of the older neighborhoods that we've got, they've been there for years, but they allowed them again in one zoning classification in the city called R5. I owned a lot. It's a block off the Beltline for many, many years and figured it was time to do it because it is an R5 lot. So what's very interesting about R5 and ADUs is you can do a duplex on R5 and then you can put one, possibly two, accessory dwelling units in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So I'm keep this project as a rental. And to me, the overall benefit is whenever you talk about density, the first thing neighbors do is complain about change. I think generally the populace, and I know the leadership in the planning department, Tim Keene, believes that we need to get denser as a society, as a city. And the only way to do that is either to densify single family neighborhoods mm-hmm. or just build a lot more apartments. And maybe some of your listeners have heard the term missing middle. What that means is that we predominantly have single family neighborhoods zoning and multifamily zoning, but there's really very little that's allowed in the middle. And so that's what this R5 did. It went from always allowing duplexes to now allowing duplexes and ADUs. And I think that I was speaking with a council person 6 or 8 months ago, and she was lamenting the fact that the little old lady who lived next door to her for many, many years, who she loved, passed away. And the heirs sell the house, and the house was a teardown, and they built a $800,000, this is an in-town neighborhood, $800,000 house after tearing it down.
Oh, good grief.
And, you know, she characterizes it as a McMansion. It probably was. Mm-hmm. But I told her, I said, your zoning forced that builder to do that.
Right.
And she said, no, we don't force anybody to do anything. Well, because you can only build one house on it. Mm-hmm. I said, if this were R5, then you could build a duplex with these ADUs. Mm-hmm. Would someone like me do that? Which is, you know, in my opinion, a far safer investment than trying to sell an $800,000 house in a transitioning neighborhood.
Right.
You know, even Old Fourth Ward, you know. So there haven't been a lot of the accessory dwelling units done yet. I believe I'm the first project as a new build. to do this. I'm being funded by a nonprofit on this particular project, and I'm getting a great interest rate and all sorts of other goodies from them. But what I'm giving back is this, the accessory dwelling unit will be rented at 60% AMI, which is for a two bedroom is $1,011 a month for the term of my loan. The duplexes, the two units for the duplexes can be rented market rate. So I talk to council people and say, listen, you're getting a 60% AMI unit, albeit one, with no subsidy from you. The only subsidy that you've given this project is the ink from your pen when you signed the legislation. Zoning is ultimately one of the major arrows in the quiver on increasing affordable housing across the spectrum affordable, not just low-income affordable housing.
So do you see the city getting it and maybe starting to change some of that zoning to allow for more of this? Or what do you think the progression will be?
I absolutely do. It was Councilmember Hall that pushed the R5 change. He's since out of office, but I think the rest of the council people get it. And the fight will always continue to be neighbors that don't get it.
Yeah, I don't want it. Not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. And there is actually a significant movement now. I'm trying to get a bumper sticker for him or something called the YIMBY. Uh-huh. Yes, in my backyard.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening around the country. Minneapolis literally just outlawed all single-family zoning. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, all single-family? Yes. Every single lot now can have two, three, or four units on it. Now, the market may not want it in a particular area, but the market will decide that,
right?
Not the government.
Wow.
And if you amazing how the market works like that.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not always, the market doesn't always do the greatest things, but in this case, it's absolutely the case. And mm-hmm. Minneapolis should be commended. California, as you can imagine, is, or Los Angeles specifically, is at the forefront of accessory dwelling units, densifying single-family neighborhoods. There's even a statewide push to force local governments to allow it. Another great one is Vancouver. I learned this is data is a couple years old, but the average home price in the city of Vancouver, $1.5 million, the median.
It's crazy.
I didn't believe it. So I did a little bit of research while I was at a symposium on accessory dwelling units, and I'm Googling it while the guy's talking. And accessory dwelling units there have gone crazy once they allowed them again, because they all these used to be allowed,
right,
you know, many years ago. One of the main uses for ADUs is the legacy owner of the house moving into the ADU and renting out the house. Main house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's a great way to retire.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way. Yeah.
You get to stay in your neighborhood. You still go to your coffee shop and all the places that you've, you know, been going to for the last 30 years.
Well, it's just interesting to watch Atlanta and to see what people say about different areas of Atlanta. And, you know, we have builders that are building, you know, $380,000 stacked flat that people in that neighborhood think are outrageously expensive.
Yes.
Yet you couldn't buy a house in that neighborhood for less than 5 or 6 or 7. And then, you know, you've got $300,000 active adult homes that people think are expensive. And I just want to say, have you priced anything anywhere? Because it's just so hard to do anything, and even in the threes anymore in Atlanta, much less lower.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it's what keeps me up at night. Like I said, I've been trying to crack this code and how to deliver affordable housing that is incredibly high quality. And again, affordability, I'll say it, you know, for a third time, I believe, it's affordable for the area that you're in.
Right.
When I say that term, I do not mean all low-income affordable housing.
Right. Although that's important as well.
Absolutely.
So, no doubt about it, you know.
My main focus.
Well, it's intriguing, Carol. We have not really had a builder on the show who's got that kind of focus.
Right.
And, you know, I learned something. I mean, we've been doing the show almost 8 years, and I learned a new way of thinking about this industry a bit. So fascinating stuff. Gosh, I feel like I have 300 other questions I want to ask you, Jim. And I don't know that we talked specifically about red brick as I would have liked to, but unfortunately, we're about out of time. So I guess we'll have to have you back down the road and maybe talk about some more specific projects. But for the time being, should anyone need to connect with you or learn more about your take on this interesting trend and direction in the industry, and certainly learn more about Red Brick Homes and Development, where do they go?
I would say at this point, go to LinkedIn. Just look me up on LinkedIn. For the last, like I said, 10 years, we've been really just business-to-business builders. I haven't done retail. That's starting to change, so I'm working on the website. My wife has got her shoe out knocking me every day. Is it done? Is it done? So it's coming. But when you have me on again, which I hope I'm invited back, I'll have all the fancy website and everything ready to go then.
Outstanding. Jim Cheeks, the owner of Red Brick Homes and Development. Jim, it was great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, gosh, I think we're at the end of our August run of shows. What a great month it's been. That wraps this week's All Around Atlanta edition. On behalf of my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schnick. Thanks for tuning in and listening today. It's all the time we have. We look forward to seeing you again right here tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by Denham Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denham Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denham Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.